Welcome back, everybody, to Full Press Coverage Radio Network. This is the Full Press Coverage Steelers podcast. This is our episode 20. As always, I'm your host, Parker Hurley, from Full Press Coverage Radio Network. I'm bringing in, this time, we have two co-hosts. We had a new co-host last time. We had our old co-host from always. We kind of mixed them together on a different podcast, but now we're going to have everybody together to talk about the Steelers. So, the old tried and true Brian Harker over at Steelers Wire. So let's bring in Brian, see how he's doing. What's going on, Brian?
Not too much. Enjoying another beautiful day here in the Midwest. How about you?
Nice. Yeah, another beautiful day here in Pittsburgh. So football's coming. You know, week three of the preseason is going to be Saturday. It's the dress rehearsal that we always know about. And that's why we're going to, you know, we're ramping up coverage. We have Ben Pagani, who's the new reporter for us at FPC underscore Steelers, Full Press Coverage Steelers. He's had about two or three pieces recapping some of the posts or the preseason games so far. I'm sure he's going to have a recap of the third preseason game, which is the most important preseason game. But that's why we're going to bring him in for extra coverage to preview this game. So let's bring in Ben now over on Full Press Coverage. How you doing, Ben?
Wonderful. It's a very nice day where I am, and I'm ready to talk.
Nice, man. Three of us just ready to talk about Steelers. Like I said, it should be the most coverage that will be given over this entire podcast, or at least the most perspectives we'll be giving. So we'll do what we always have been doing, kind of just going through the roster, highlighting expectations, highlighting players that we kind of want to see. And we talked about in the first couple episodes that we really weren't looking for starters or anything like that. We were looking for depth players. But like I said, this is kind of the, if you're going to look for starters in the preseason, this is what you're going to look for. I wrote an article on Full Press Coverage where I talked about how you handle the quarterback situation. And I didn't expect Ben Roethlisberger to play in the first or second game. And I expected him to play, you know, into the second quarter in this game, because that's typically what you would do. So, Brian, we'll toss it to you really just for Ben Roethlisberger. Is there anything you're looking for out of him? I mean, we've kind of talked about how you don't, there's nothing really to see from Roethlisberger in the preseason, but you are getting him out there, obviously. It's a new offense. You're hoping AB's out there. You're hoping Juju's out there. You know, the gang's all out there. So is there anything you're really looking for from Ben?
I just want to see how much rust he has on him. I mean, you know, he's throwing his routes every day in practice. He looks in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
But, he needs to be out there for at least a quarter. You want to get him in the game action, because timing in a game action is so much different than it is in practice. And, you know, I kind of want to see how they treat him following his injury. I'm not quite sure what the injury was, although we know that gladly it wasn't a concussion.
Right.
So I'd say maybe a quarter. That's all I would play him, is, you know, give him a quarter, a couple series. Because, you know, like I say, he doesn't need to work for as long as he's been in the league, just the timing aspect of it.
Yeah, really, is I'm the same idea as you, is kind of just get him out there, brush it off, get him back into the garage, you know, for the start of the regular season. But definitely get him out there. And you said about the concussion, I think he even said that he wanted to clarify that he did not have a concussion, and that there's a difference between entering concussion protocol and having a concussion. And he said that while he did enter the protocol, he did not have a concussion. So like you said, that's really good news for Roethlisberger. And I don't think it's going to affect him, you know, this week or moving forward. He's not going to play in week four. So he's really, like we said, I'd probably give him that full quarter, move on to Landry Jones. But then it kind of brings up the next question while we stick on quarterbacks, and I'll throw it over to Ben as far as the depth of the quarterbacks, because from Landry Jones, you know, if those two play the first half, you don't need to see either in the second half, because we talked about last episode, Landry Jones has supplanted his seat as the second quarterback. But that means you have the entire second half for the third and the fourth guy, Mason Rudolph and Joshua Dobbs. So the question to Ben that I'm going to pose is, you know, if Mason Rudolph is, or, you know, if you're hoping to get snaps out of Mason Rudolph and he's probably going to make the team and, you know, arguably Dobbs isn't, are you giving all of the entire second half to Mason Rudolph? Because, you know, we talked about, or I talked about on a solo podcast, how there were obviously some things from Mason's last start that you really need to see him build on. And I know it's, you know, him against the starters versus him against backups, but every snap he gets in that role is probably vital. But at the same time, you have Joshua Dobbs, his fourth quarterback, who, you know, you did just draft him 2 years ago. So you could argue, do you go third quarter Mason, fourth quarter Dobbs, or do you just, you know, admit what you are at this point? And that's building up Rudolph. So how do you handle the second half quarterbacks?
I think this time Mason Rudolph should play the entire second half. I think Josh Dobbs is for sure that fourth string quarterback, and we'll probably see close to an entire half of him in the fourth preseason game, but this isn't his chance anymore. He's not developed whatsoever, in my opinion, in the last 2 years, and Mason Rudolph has more potential. I think it's very obvious to anybody to see that. I would give him the entire second half, and if Mike Tomlin wants to see, okay, maybe Josh Dobbs still gets one more chance, which isn't a risk I think the Steelers should be willing to take, especially with Ben getting older and the future of the quarterback position being such a high stake. I would put him in, if anything, for the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. But besides that, I don't expect him to play very much at all, if at all, on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely, and it does come down to the fact that I just don't think Dobbs is going to be here, and I do think Mason is going to be here. And like I said, you saw enough on last Thursday in the preseason week two that you really would like to see Rudolph build off of something, and it really came down to the speed of the game. And I talked about how college and even preseason football, there is a speed adjustment, and he saw, you know, the big adjustment from not even preseason but to facing some starters last week. Things got really fast for him. So just the ability, the only way to slow things down is to get him out there. And even if it is against depth players, every snap that he's seeing within that speed I think is really important. So I would also probably play him for the entire first or the second half. And then, I mean, Dobbs, I mean, he play pretty much the whole entire fourth preseason game. I mean, you said the first or the half. He could play, you know, three quarters into, the, you know, as much as you want, because that game doesn't mean too much. So we'll kind of move into the running backs. You know, it's the starters, but it's not Le'Veon Bell, obviously. And that's probably going to give us another heavy look at James Conner. So we'll just go back to Ben for this one. What are you expecting from James Conner? My big question has been in the passing game. Do you think that they can get him involved in the passing game a little bit more?
I think the room there is tremendous to see James Conner in the passing game. When he was in college at the University of Pittsburgh, he was their guy for just about everything. And if he could break away once in a while on a screen pass, he was unstoppable. I think that's something the Steelers need to put him in more roles like that. And this is dress rehearsal. If we're looking towards the future, or if, forbid, anything happened to Le'Veon Bell this season, this could be the real situation. And being out there with Ben Roethlisberger, knowing, okay, you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback throwing to this guy, there's nothing to lose. It's preseason. If it messes up and it doesn't work, okay, we now know that. But everything is to gain here, absolutely. So James Conner should be involved in that passing game more. I don't know if he'll be going downfield more like Le'Veon Bell has in the past. But if they try it, again, there's nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's, you hit it, man. And you talked about how it is the dress rehearsal. And, you know, this is, you know, we're pretending that Le'Veon Bell is, you know, injured or whatever's going on. He's not with the team. So you have to throw the football to your running back, you know. So if James Conner is the tried and true backup, he will have to be involved in that area in some regard. And like you said, worst case is he struggles and the Steelers kind of go back to the drawing boards and say, you know, well, if Lev gets hurt, we can't put this play in. Or if Lev gets hurt, you know, this is what we need to be working on with Conner throughout the season. So a lot to gain, really nothing to lose. Kind of to throw it back to Brian, and I wanted to pose it to Brian because he's the biggest Fitzgerald Toussaint fan. And Fitz had a pretty good second game in the preseason. It's starting to look like I wrote about. I think Fitz is starting to look like a lock on this roster, and I think Brian's going to agree. But that comes down to the fourth spot then would probably be Ridley versus Jalen Samuels, and Ridley missed last game. They said it was with a groin injury. So really, you know, two questions is, do you think Fitz is a lock now? And then between Ridley and Samuels, you know, this is the dress rehearsal. You know, one of them's going to probably play, you know, the entire second half, similarly to Mason Rudolph. So who do you have between those two?
Well, you're going to be shocked, but and I hate to admit it, but I do believe that, yeah, Toussaint's a lock.
Yep.
He looks like he's gotten himself into some pretty good shape. He's got a little bit more shiftiness to him. And he's running with an attitude, you know? I mean, how many times in the last couple of years have I been frustrated because the guy just flat out tripped over a blade of grass? You know, I'm like, get rid of this guy and he just won't go away.
Right.
You know, I'm convinced now that if at the end of a nuclear war, there's going to be two things, cockroaches and Fitzgerald Toussaint. But like I say, I am impressed with what he's done. He's a lock. And I think if it comes down to Ridley, I really like Ridley. But, you know, you can't be missing time this late in the preseason. And I still believe in Samuels. He hasn't really been given much of a shot, but, you know, that's kind of a toss-up, but I would have to go with youth in that situation.
Yeah, it really is a toss-up. And I think that it will come down to, you know, this third game, whoever plays well, I think they're both going to get, you know, 5 to 10 carries. And if Ridley looks fine, I think, you know, he's the veteran guy. But, you know, you're probably rooting for Samuels. And if it's close, you're giving the edge to Samuels. So Samuels just needs to show something. And similarly to Connor, it'd be great if he showed it in the passing game. And I said it in the first preseason game, if they use him in the passing game early into the game, it shows that they have a role for him. They didn't go back to it in the second game, so to see it in the third preseason game will be interesting. We'll kind of keep the rotation going and just stick with Brian to go to the receivers. And kind of just the two starters, the main two guys, A.B. and Juju, you know, we're kind of not expecting too much from them. Juju's had an amazing camp. A.B. has been dealing with the groin injury or whatever, hip flexor injury, something like that. So, Do you expect to see anything from AB in this game? You know, they are going to throw him out there, most likely. Are you expecting anything from AB? And is there anything you want to see in terms of, you know, they're mixing and matching with Juju?
I'm thinking if he gets a series or two, once again, similar to Ben, you don't want to aggravate that injury, but you want to get him some work in a game situation and then get him out as quickly as possible. The guys I really want to see, or Damone Patterson,
yeah,
and James Washington. I mean, Washington, I mean, he's finally getting to work with the number ones, and that's what I'd really like to see, is him getting to catch a couple of balls from Ben, to see how he fits within the starters. There's a lot to be excited about with this group.
That's exactly it. And Washington was so good last game. And like you said, he's going to get the one times. And I'll plug an article that I wrote back in, you know, before the preseason, that I thought statistically he could have a better season than Martavis Bryant this year. And it comes down to those contested catches that he's been showing throughout the preseason. So, you know, Ben, kind of along the same token, I'll go to you. The thing with Ben Roethlisberger is if he trusts you and, you know, you're down the field, he's going to let it rip. That's just the mindset that he has, that he wants to throw the football down the field. James, you know, between Antonio's just an all-around receiver. We kind of know Juju as, you know, he can work the slot and he can do things over the middle. James would be the big play threat and would really make Juju a lot more dynamic in the middle. It would make Antonio more dynamic on his own side due to the fact that he can be that deep play receiver. So, like I said, Ben hasn't played in the preseason yet. How early do you think that they throw deep to James Washington? You know, how early does Ben Roethlisberger want to see what he can do with James Washington? You know, do you think that that's something that they're, you know, specifically looking to go to in this game?
I believe that if you're going to have Ben and James Washington in there at the same time, which they undoubtedly will, that is something you absolutely have to try. If it was Juju or AB, Ben wouldn't be throwing it down the field to them unless, oh, you have a free play or they just burn a defensive back. So I think James Washington, okay, he's a rookie. We've seen what he's got. He's now moved ahead of Darius Heyward-Bey on the depth chart. Let's give this kid a chance. Let's see what it is. This is the real deal now. This is as close as we're going to get to regular season action. And you're playing against the Titans? Let's do it. Let's see how it works. And I know they're going to go in there and going to say, hey, James, you're making us all better. You're here to allow us to utilize our receivers in different ways. Like you said, Juju can now be used over the middle more instead of being downfield. Antonio Brown's going to keep doing what Antonio Brown does. But we can see what it's like to have those guys in different roles because of James Washington. That is something the Steelers absolutely have to do. They have to send the ball downfield to James Washington while him and Ben are both in the game.
I agree completely. We need to see it. And I'm of the ilk of, you know, it reminds me of they played the Bears last year and it was, you know, first or second play of the game and they're bombing it to Martavis and it was incomplete. And they played the Colts and it was the first play of the game and, you know, play action, bomb to Martavis. Incomplete. I want to see, you know, first drive, first play of the game, first third down of the game. It's 3rd and 5. I just want to see Ben uncork one to James Washington and just to see what happens and just instill that fear of, you know, we're here, you know, and we have all three receivers, and James Washington is going to be hitting with Ben, and there's just, you know, the change up in competition isn't going to be a huge issue. I just want to see it, you know, it doesn't even have to be often, but as long as it's early, in my opinion, is really where I want to see it. We'll just move on to the tight ends and stick with Ben, because Vance McDonald's out, but he, Mike Tomlin just said today that he expects none of the injuries to linger into week one. So, I mean, in my opinion, you know, there's really not much to look for because Grimble's out as well. Tomlin said he's probably going to be good for week one. So really it's just Jesse James as far as, you know, potential players to make the roster in this game. So he's going to see the field a ton. What do you think about Jesse and, you know, how deep into this game does he play? You know, probably the whole first half, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think Jesse James is a guy, a lot of people in the city like him and the entire fan base. It's a player that people like to see. Him and Vance McDonald, I mean, that is a pretty good tight end pair right there. And so if Vance McDonald's not going to play, Xavier Grimble's not going to play, what's Bucky Hodges going to show Jesse James up when Ben Roethlisberger's throwing to him? Not a chance. And when we get Mason Rudolph in there maybe in the first half, which I'm not saying is going to happen. I don't think it will. But even with Landry Jones, these are guys where if something happened, these are the players playing together. And Jesse James has been utilized in many, many ways since he's come to this team. His pass blocking, I think, is maybe close to the same caliber as Vance McDonald is. Maybe his receiving isn't as good. But, again, there's nothing to lose. He's going to be out there with Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's going to show everybody up.
Yeah, I want to see some more blocking from Jesse, just showing, you know, hopefully showing some improvement in that area. And then, you know, kind of like Ben was saying, you know, who's even here to kind of upstage Jesse James? You know, is it going to be Bucky Hodges? And that's kind of where I'll go to Brian as far as the depth. You know, there isn't much to it right now. Our boy Courtland Scotland Williams, it just seems like is destined for the practice squad based on he played in the first game. They kind of hid him in the second game. I would highly doubt he plays in this game. Then you just give him the field. You know, he plays the entire fourth game and he's onto the practice squad is kind of how I see it. So there's really just Farrah McKeever and Bucky Hodges are going to be the other guys playing in this game, you know, with Jesse James, like Ben said, potentially trying to show him up or potentially trying to earn some respect because of that. So, is there anything you're looking for from Hodges and McKeever? Because Tomlin said their injuries aren't going to linger into week one, but if they do, these are two players who could potentially see the roster.
Yeah, the injuries concern me. And I love Vance McDonald, but with his injury history, you know, it's hard to tell, and especially if what he's dealing with plantar fasciitis. You know, that's something that could linger all season. Ligament in a thumb. You know, once again, a tight end makes his living with his hands, so you never really know how that could play out. That's one of those things, too, that could, once again, tend to linger into the season. So you got to get work out of somebody. You got to find somebody besides Jesse James. And whether it's Bucky Hodges or Farrell, I would be concerned, you know. You haven't seen much of them anyway. And what Farrell jumped off sides twice, that's all I've seen of him.
Right.
So I'm not really sure. I think they honestly need to go out and get somebody, personally. Bring somebody else in.
Yeah, I thought Hodges, you know, won the mini competition, whatever it was, in week two between him and McKeever. Kind of like you said, it wasn't really the best night for McKeever. It was a decent night for Hodges. And, you know, the two things that I said I was looking for from Hodges are understanding the playbook because he's still in so early. And that's why, like Ben was saying, you know, are you really going to even get him on the field early? He doesn't even know too much of the playbook. But he's, you know, easily – I think he was more disciplined and more understanding of it than a guy like McKeever. And I thought he was willing in the blocking area, and that's a huge question mark with him. And if he could show that, then there's something to buy into him. But he didn't show it nearly enough, and he's going to have to show it full force in this game. It's going to be interesting how, you know, who gets on the field between the two because they're probably going to run some two tight end sets at some point. Which one of the two is it? Because I already talked about Scotland Williams, you know, is probably heading to the practice squad or, you know, that would be the plan. So it's starting to get, you know, testy between those two in terms of the competition. Brian, we'll keep it with you as we kind of move into the offensive line. I mean, the starters will start, but there's really nothing to look for there. Ramon Foster is out for this game, you know, still questionable for week one, so BJ Finney will play. Is there anything you're looking at from out of Finney or, you know, any of the starters that you kind of need to see as far as shaking the rust off?
Where are we at with Villanueva? I mean, he should be playing, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, maybe it's just me, but I haven't seen nor heard much of him so far in training camp or even in the preseason, and I get that. There, you know, not a whole lot of them have played. But can he bounce back and have another Pro Bowl year? Filer's looking impressive. I think just a little bit more consistency out of BJ Finney at center position. But, I mean, overall, I like the way they ran the ball against Green Bay, especially in the opening quarter and a half or so. I think that's going to be one of the strong suits of the offense this year.
It's yeah.
Chuck. Chuck. I want to see Chuck. I like Chuck.
Yeah, he's. I kind of was going to ask Ben about him because you talked about Filer, how he's looked pretty strong. He looked pretty strong at guard recently, and you know he's played some tackle in his time, and he could play tackle in a pinch. But it seems like you know the Steelers lost Chris Hubbard to the Browns, and it seems like they're very committed to Chooks in this role, moving forward, kind of being that swing player. And he's played the right side, and he's played the left side in the preseason, and he's looked pretty good at both of them. And you have a guy like Munchak in there, and it looks like, you know, this is probably a pretty decent fit considering everything. So kind of just to Ben, I would ask, you know, you're looking at Gilbert and you're looking at Villanueva. And like I said, he can play the right and the left side. Is there any side you would rather see him more on, you know, as far as like a just in case thing or, you know, a player that you might be worried about him starting? You know, is there a side where you'd like to see Chooks long term at even and it could show in this game?
I'd actually like to see him
I'm sorry,
my bad.
You're good.
I think it's tough to pass Villanueva solely because he is a Pro Bowler. Marcus Gilbert's pretty good, too. But I think that's more likely the position we would see Okorafor in. Will either of those happen? I'm not really sure. I think the only role that's really up for the taking actually is in BJ Finney with Ramon Foster being out. I've seen enough of him at the center position. I think everybody knows Marquise Pouncey is going to be the starting center at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's really all. This offensive line has been very decorated in all of the NFL for the last couple seasons. I mean, these are the reasons all these running backs are so successful. Yes, we have very good running backs, but we also have a very, very good offensive line that very few stack up against.
Agreed. And then, Brian, let's hear your take on Chooks. I know you're excited. You wanted to say something about him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm used to hearing when you talk about Ben Roethlisberger. Now we got
right. We got a couple. Okay.
But, yeah, I'd like to see him on the right side.
Okay.
Most of the problems have seemed to come from the right side. And if you get him stabilized and get him comfortable over there, now you got quality depth on both sides of the line. And if somebody goes down, you know, Ben can feel pretty comfortable that he's not going to get drilled.
Yeah, I tend to think it's I think he'll play the third on, you know, one side and the fourth on the other personally. So we'll definitely see. And I think, you know, Ben kind of hit it that both of the starting tackles are kind of supplanted in their spots. So, you know, whichever side it is, you could argue, you know, it's not an issue. Moving on to the defensive line, and we'll stick with Brian for a second because, you know, another thing we've been talking about, me and Brian, has been the Dan McCullers situation. And he started over Javon Hargrave and played the first half, and then Javon Hargrave played most of the second half. I thought that was, you know, a little eye-opening. Javon Hargrave was destroying people in the second half and looked like he just stuck out like a sore thumb and didn't belong with any of those players. But Big Dan has looked, you know, fine. He's not blowing things up, but he's looking fine. What's your gauge on this nose tackle spot?
Well, Dan kind of threw a monkey wrench in everything. I mean, you know, you pretty much assumed, I did anyway, that this was going to be his last camp with the Steelers.
Yeah.
But he's showing that, hey, I'm not going away, and I got something to prove. And now it makes me wonder what they're going to do. LT Walton might not have a spot on his roster if McCullers keeps showing out the way he has. It's been quite a pleasant surprise to see him just pushing bodies back. What was it? The first series against Green Bay, he almost got himself a sack.
Yeah. So, Javon or Dan, who starts?
I'm still starting Javon, but yeah. Dan's going to get a lot of playing time.
I agree. I feel like that was like, I don't know what it was, but I think they're going to go back to, you know, Javon's better. I feel like we can all just see it with our eyes. So I think they'll go back to Javon. Over to Ben, you know, it's going to be Tuitt and Hayward, and they haven't played. You know, they're pretty much the Ben Roethlisberger of the defense. But Tuitt's coming off of, you know, an injury to where he came back from it within like 3 or 4 weeks. But me and Brian talked about all winter how you could kind of see he wasn't the same player. And I know he played like 3 snaps before he got injured. But those were, you know, arguably the best 3 snaps of his season. And then he played well, but just not the type of Tuitt. Or we expected a progression from Tuitt, and we kind of got a plateaued Tuitt because of the injury. So really mainly I'm going to say, you know, what are your expectations? Or are you looking for anything from Tuitt? But then also Cam Hayward, who I feel like has proven to be consistent at this point.
Right. If anything for Tuitt at this point, the only direction to go is up. Like you said, he's plateaued. And a lot of time when these kind of injuries happen, it's either people come off booming or they're slow to start. They're not immediately awful or tremendous. And I think this is the thing. Okay, it takes time and whatnot. But the only way to go is up. And I think Stephon Tuitt's proven to a lot of people during his NFL career that he can be a force to be reckoned with when he's healthy, when he's playing at the top of his game. And Tyson Alualu is not even close to me in the ballpark of what Stephon Tuitt can be when he's the man. Now, I'm sorry, who was the other defender that you were mentioning?
Probably just the Javon Hargrave, Dan McCullers situation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can't say Dan McCullers is going to be dynamite just because of one good start. I mean, it's the preseason. People have some fair games, and then they're back to the way they've always been. Javon Hargrave, you guys were absolutely hitting it on the head. He's going to be that starter, and yes, Dan McCullers might get a lot of playing time, but don't expect any changes in that role.
Right, and then we'll kind of just stick it with Ben on the edge. It doesn't sound like T.J. Watt's going to play again, but kind of similarly to Vance McDonald, Tomlin thinks he'll be fine for week one. But all this really says is it's kind of, as far as the starters, it's the Bud Dupree show. And he looked really strong. You know, he was blitzing from the middle. He was blitzing from the left side, getting a blindside sack. So assess his first performance, and how do you want to see him build off of that, you know, on that new side?
This defense is not very good at all. I feel like I've been outspoken about my displeasure with it, but Bud Dupree has been the shining light on that defense. He has been increasing in his abilities in his career so far, and I think that if he can be maybe a leader, you know, T.J. Watt's still young. You don't have that Ryan Shazier figure like you had. John Bostic, by the way, I think is the worst. You didn't get a real replacement. You have this guy that's now on his 5th NFL team in 5 years, and he has 3 sacks, I think. And it's an irreplaceable guy. So let's get Bud Dupree out here. Let's make him this defense's leader. Let's get people fired up to play on the Steelers defense. You know, it's traditionally the Steel Curtain. And without that leadership role from Shazier, without a Pro Bowl linebacker like Shazier, let's see Bud Dupree pick it up even more, and let's have him be the guy where we say, oh, he's our most valuable asset. Let's keep him healthy. Let's keep him as a captain of the defense. Let's get people inspired to play with this guy. He has rocked the house. I think we all know that he was definitely the best defensive player in that game against the Packers, which honestly doesn't do it justice because I thought he played a fine game. The rest of the defense looks like garbage, hot garbage. It was bad. It was horrendous. I hated it. I hated watching that defense. Bud Dupree can be that beacon of light. let's get him rolling even more than he has. Tomorrow, I think we're going to see a lot of pretty fair Titans defense or Titans offense. My bad. You had Corey Davis at wide receiver, and he was huge in college playing at Western Michigan, that team that got to go to the Cotton Bowl, going 15-1. Derrick Henry is an absolute monster at running back. We know that Marcus Mariota can perform, and Deion Lewis being an addition to the Titans, people are going to need to step up. And if Bud Dupree plays the way he has in the last few years and this last preseason game, I think he's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and one thing me and Brian talked about this summer was that we were kind of hoping and expecting for Bud to take that step forward this year. And, you know, I always talked about how he's never really had an off season to work on his craft, you know, kind of been dealing with injuries every year in the NFL. And this was his first year to actually do that, and you may be seeing him take that step because of a situation like that. That would just be huge, and pretty much for everything you said, that you kind of need a game changer on the defense. So to kind of get into the depth, because like I said, Watt's not playing, and toss a question back over to Brian. Just, you know, we've kind of highlighted there's three guys. You know, Anthony Ciccolo, we know exactly what we have in him, but there's kind of three guys fighting for one, maybe two spots. And it's, you know, Farrington Hugonen, it's Keon Adams, and it's Ola Adini, whatever. What are you expecting from those three? How do you see the three sorting themselves out? And I guess the real question is, you know, the first team will be Bud and Ciccolo if Watt's out. So who are the two players running in the second team? You know, who's the odd man out who's not running with the second team on Saturday?
That's kind of a tough call because they've all played well.
Yeah.
But I would say Ola and Keon Adams will most likely be taking on that role. Just because, I mean, Adams, he hasn't stood out as far as making a splash play or as far as being a difference in a game, but he's always in the mix. He looks like he's coming back off that injury quite well. And although he didn't get the reps, still looks like he has. I mean, mentally, he knows that playbook inside and out, and it's really, I think it's really carried to the field this year. It's essentially his rookie year.
Right.
You know, but he doesn't look like that. He looks like a veteran out there. I've been impressed with what he's done. And Ola, you know, I mean, what can you say about Ola? I mean, coming from a small school like we talked about, and like a lot of people are starting to talk about now, he kind of has those James Harrison trademarks. He's small. He uses his leverage real well. But Hugonen, once again, he's just that long-limbed guy that he's made some pretty impressive plays. I don't know how to call it, but either way, they're going to get two good players out of those three.
Yeah, I'm way more optimistic at the depth of this group than, you know, we were at some point a few months ago or a month ago even. And it's interesting because, you know, you talked about Keon Adams, and he's the only one they've put a little draft stock into, albeit a seventh-round pick. But, you know, you talked about he has the ceiling. But it just feels like as far as what they've shown through the first two preseason games, it feels like Ola and Farrington have had better preseasons, and you kind of want to see more from Keon Adams. But at the same time, of the three, it feels like Adams is like the most locked on to the roster. So it's kind of interesting how you're going to fit, you know, arguably probably juggle those two across from Adams. So, you know, you're kind of seeing so much of Adams, and then you're kind of seeing those two, you know, maybe even series for series, or you're figuring something out with those two. But I mean, it feels like, you know, like you, I'm totally up in the air on this, and it feels like Saturday will probably be a huge day to kind of decipher the three, or, you know, even if it is Ola and Farrington, because like I said, Adams maybe has a slight edge on the group. Stick with Brian, because we kind of got Ben's thoughts a little bit on Bostic, and, you know, Bostic definitely struggled, but one of the things that I talked about in the game was, you know, despite his performance, you could kind of see in terms of depth chart and roster management wise, he kind of won the starting job over Matakevich, and it's something that we kind of talked about and expected for a while. He, you know, Bostic ran with the entire first team next to Vince Williams. They actually pushed Bostic into Vince Williams' role, or they actually put Matakevich into Vince Williams' role, and Bostic stayed in his own role. Or the two actually played together, so Matakevich seemed like the full-on reserve in this situation. So, you know, as poor as Bostic played on the field as well, so did Matakevich. So, you know, this is where Ben was going on to this, you know, there's some serious questions at this linebacker core. But really, just as far as Bostic, it feels like he won the starting job. So, you know, you're starting him in this full game, right? And you're probably giving him at least the full first half, right? So what are your expectations for Bostic?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing, is giving Bostic the full first half. I mean, he has to know that he wasn't all that impressive against Green Bay. I mean, he took bad angles and tackles. He let things get past him that he shouldn't have. I mean, he's a communicator, and that's, you know, and he is a short tackler when he gets there. So, I mean, those are the two reasons they brought him in. And, you know, you got to hope that, all right, that was just a bad game. The defense as a whole, there's a lot of younger players. We got to get them to gel. And that's what I'm really hoping, that it's just an issue of them getting comfortable playing together and getting that communication all in sync. So I would definitely give him a half. And I would also, believe it or not, I'd give Matthew Thomas a lot of opportunities as well. One of those two eventually. I think Thomas will ultimately be, and it's early, I understand, but I think ultimately Thomas is going to be the replacement for Bostic.
Yeah, I think, it, you know, you're definitely, like you said, you're talking way down the line, but I mean, it has to be. You know, and that's kind of where we're going to get into Ben, was in the preseason game. You saw, I forget who it was, juked Nat Barry out of his shoes and took, you know, it was like an 80-yard touchdown. And Matthew Thomas chased down, you know, he almost caught the ball carrier, but he ended up passing up Nat Barry on his pursuit to the football. So, I mean, this is a middle linebacker who, you know, we talked about Barry as this special team stud safety, and completely just got outran by Matthew Thomas. And Matthew Thomas is just this freak athlete. So, kind of getting into the depth, I think, you know, I'm pretty sure Thomas has played if not the entire second half, the majority of the second half in the first two games, and I would expect him to play the entire second half of this game as well. So, expecting a lot of Matthew Thomas. Do you have any big expectations? Are you looking for anything out of him, Ben?
I hope I see great things out of Matthew Thomas. We already have, yes, but it's got to be better than John Bostic. What are we doing with this defense? The Steelers are a team that scored 42 points in a playoff game and then fired the offensive coordinator, and they gave up 46, 48. What are we doing? Matthew Thomas, John Bostic, you're right, Brian. He has to know how bad he played against the Packers. But he's been brought in for this role that is irreplaceable. But somebody has got to be better. And we know, I think it's pretty clear that Matthew Thomas is a lot better than John Bostic is. And I'd like to see him in the entire second half. I don't know exactly who all is going to be on with the defense at that point that he can work with. But as long as he is somebody that can make another highlight reel play, chasing people down, okay, I don't care who he's with. I want to see his performance be better than anybody's. And he's going to be facing a decent defense. The passing, I believe, I forget his name. Maybe his last name's Falk, the backup quarterback for the Titans. He was at Washington State, and Washington State had a couple really good years the past two or three years. We're going to see him against some decent competition. I want to see Matthew Thomas go all out in this game. It's better than Bostic for me. There's no doubt in my mind. It's a 100%. I feel that 100%. So Matthew Thomas, let's get him in there, and let's have the team go with him in the future. I think that needs to be the choice made.
Yeah, he's gonna get the entire second half, and I mean the way that I see it is, you need to get Bostic and Vince Williams, you know, ready. You know, last week was kind of, or this whole offseason, whatever, has been about Bostic, you know, beating out Matakevich, and he finally beat out Matakevich. So now he's with the first team, and like you both said, he's had a week to understand what the first team is, you know, understand who's around him, everything like that. So, yeah, got to see a full half of Vince Williams next to Bostic, communicating with each other, figuring it out together. And to me, that means an entire second half of Matakevich next to Matthew Thomas, and that's extremely vital because, you know, the thing we know about Tyler Matakevich is he's completely undersized, but he's extremely smart, and he's always in the right place, and he knows what he's doing. The thing about Matthew Thomas is He's the freakiest of the freak athletes. You know, he's the most physically dominating football player out there, but he has no idea where he's going, and he's running the wrong way half the time. So if you put a guy like Matakevich next to him and he can kind of like nudge him on the shoulder and, you know, say, hey, this is what you need to be looking at, or, you know, hey, you see how he's doing this, you see how he's standing here, this is what you need to be doing. I think that's a good way to grow a guy like Matthew Thomas. So just with two positions to go, we'll do cornerbacks and safeties. We'll do cornerbacks with Ben. We'll do safeties with Brian. Just overarching overall thoughts with the safety or the cornerback group to Ben. In my opinion, I think Cameron Sutton's really the guy to look for because he's the backup outside guy. He's the backup slot guy, and he plays dime for them. So I'm really looking for Sutton. Is there anyone you're looking for, and what are you looking for from Sutton?
Oh, my. So Artie Burns has, for me at least, not been the guy the Steelers expected him to be. And maybe he's listed ahead of Sutton on the depth chart, but I think that could be either of those two guys. You could swap them out, and I wouldn't really be able to tell you much of a difference in either their playing style or how much how productive they are on the field. Cameron Sutton, if anything, can launch himself way ahead of Artie Burns, but I think Artie Burns is I don't think he can go really more ahead than he is. But Cam Sutton, I mean, what exactly are you interested in seeing from him?
What I'm interested in is where he's playing specifically because, like you said, I actually wrote an article that I'll plug about how I thought Cameron Sutton could push a player like Artie Burns, and it goes back to against the Texans. They debated it, the Cameron Sutton-Artie Burns thing, and it is Sutton's the smarter player, Burns is the more physically imposing player. But what I'm starting to kind of realize, or what I'm thinking about now, is it looks like Sutton is so versatile, and like I said, he's the backup outside, he's the backup slot, and he's going to play dime, that it just feels like he's going to get on the field regardless, and his versatility is kind of needed in all of these positions. They even talked about this dollar defense that they're potentially running more, that in the dollar defense, it would be you take your two inside linebackers off of the field, and you stick Morgan Burnett and Cameron Sutton as, you know, they would be your inside linebackers. And then, you know, Terrell Edmonds and Sean Davis are your safeties. So with how much versatility Cameron Sutton brings and the fact that he's kind of an emergency player at every spot, it feels like you kind of wedge Burns into he's this outside player. And then everything else is kind of what Cameron Sutton's doing. So that's kind of where I am with Sutton. And that brings us perfectly into Brian for the safeties because I talked about the dollar defense, which, you know, we haven't seen too much in the preseason. It's just been kind of the talk of camp so far. So just overall, where do you stand on the dollar? And then kind of we could finish it off with it feels like we were exactly right on our Marcus Allen call. He didn't play at all in the second preseason game. I'd be stunned if he played at all on Saturday. So they're going to hide him for a little bit. So where do you stand on the entire safety group? Do you think you're going to see some dollar? Do you think you're going to see some of these safeties and a guy like Cameron Sutton in the box?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see much of the dollar, although I keep hearing that everybody is pretty pleased with the way it's progressing in camp.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd like to see a preview of it or a sneak preview of it from time to time to see how exactly successful it has been and why everybody's so excited about it. But I'm really impressed with what Terrell Edmonds is doing. I mean, he's flashing the ability to cover. He's made some heads-up plays on special teams, which translates to the field. And granted, he's made some, you know, rookie mistakes, but he understands, hey, I'm a rookie, I have to grow, but I'm not going to let it take my confidence away. And that's what I really like to see out of him, is the excitement that he brings, that he can do anything on any particular play. I mean, he's looked awfully bad, but he's progressing each week, and he's doing something different. So I look to see that continue. I'd still like to see, you know, Sean Davis. Let's see how he's looking. I mean, he understands, you know, what position he's in, what this being his third year.
Yep.
If they're going to leave him in this position, he's got to be that stabilizing force, that figure back there. And that's what I'm hoping to see, how they gel the chemistry between some of these young guys. That's the I think that's really the most important thing, regardless of how they perform. They're all athletic. They all got talent. Now I want to see the chemistry.
Yeah. Like you said, the talk of camp has been the dollar defense, but they haven't shown it yet. They haven't talked much about the dime defense, but they have shown it a little bit. So it's just interesting how they're going to, you know, kind of shake and bake everything up in the back end there. And, yeah, Sean Davis probably has to be the player to watch because, you know, he's been dinged up, he's been injured, and he's moving positions. And, you know, it's not as easy from strong safety to free safety. It is a completely different role altogether. And Sean has never played free safety, and you're going to be making all of these reads in real-time action, and you just love to see him get on the field before he's just thrown in week one trying to make some of these reads that I was talking about. So that's going to be interesting to me. And then, you know, the Malik Golden-Jordan Dangerfield competition will probably end up being decided in week four, but how they kind of handle those guys in the back end will be interesting as well. So that kind of wraps us up. There's so much to look into for this team. We kind of just put it together for like 45 minutes. So we'll get some overarching thoughts. We'll start with Ben. Ben, just overall, you know, what are you looking for in this game?
I'm looking for Bud Dupree to be the leader that this defense desperately needs. I'm looking for Matthew Thomas to have another good game like he had against the Packers. And I want to see him compete with John Bostic as the season goes on for that left inside linebacker position.
Yeah, Thomas and Dupree, I mean, that'd be huge if both of them had huge games. So I agree completely. Been looking at both of them all offseason as well. So, Brian, your overarching thoughts for heading into this third preseason game, you know, the most important preseason game.
That is similar. They focus around the defense. That's what I want to see is I want to see more focus in the secondary. I want to see people take proper angles to make tackles. I want to see these little mistakes that get cleaned up, because how can you expect to run your defense in a regular season and be successful if all I see is confusion, you know?
Yeah, you guys both just destroyed the defense as properly you should have. I'll just throw in, you know, because you guys hit the defense so hard, I want to see James Conner catch some passes, and I want to see James Washington, a deep pass, first play of the game, just throw it up in the air to James, Ben, and I want to see that. So I want to see the Jameses catching passes on Saturday, and I think we will. So I'm pretty excited to see both of them kind of, you know, they looked good in that second game, but I'd really like to see them in this third game with Ben on the field and all of that. So that wraps us up. That's really everything you need for this third preseason game. We'll probably get together, the three of us again, and talk about the third preseason game next week, probably Sunday or Monday after the game. So stay tuned for that. That was Ben Pagani. He's on Full Press Coverage Steelers. He's doing Full Press Coverage Hockey as well, Full Press Coverage NHL. So Penguins season's coming for all you Penguins fans. Brian Harker over on SteelersWire.com, as always, doing his thing. And over on Pittsburgh Sports Zone as well. And I'm Parker Hurley, at Parker Hurley. Full Press Coverage, Radio Network, everything like that. Check us out. Like I said, we'll be there on Sunday for the pregame or for the postgame. So, yeah, we'll see you guys then. Have a great week. Have the rest of your week. And here we go, Steelers.